A very warm welcome once again to International Clearance. I'm your co-host, Joe Walker. And alongside me, as always, is man like Scully. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling good. It's been a long day, but a good week.
Yeah, a good week. And especially if you're into transfers, the transfer window is mad. It's almost sometimes bigger than the football's going on the pitch when there's a good old saga going. Naturally, given the movement of players, it's going to be a lot of stuff that applies to our stuff of interest, players moving around, players coming back. So we think it's best if we get some help in for this episode. So we'll be joined later on by Cam from English Players Abroad. He'll be talking through some of the big moves and shakers with us. Before we get into all that, I want to shout out What Game Today, the account on Twitter, who was first to guess Lee Clark as last week's guest, simply replied to one of our passport stamp pages that we put out the day before each episode. So if you follow us at INTL Clearance on Twitter, Instagram or TikTok, the day before a guest episode and guest interview, there'll be a passport page with the stamps of everywhere they've been as a player or coach. And then the next day we reveal that answer to you. But we shout out whoever guesses first correctly, because why not? We're nice people and we appreciate the engagement.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit interactive. I feel like this one's a bit easy though. I don't feel like there are that many Englishmen who have been around Sudan as a footballing nation.
Yeah, I think anyone that had listened to us previously when he was appointed in Series 1 will have that fresh in their memory, do you know what I mean? In our Instagram, if you scroll further down, there's just a photo of him taking training sessions. So,
well, we congratulate him all the same.
Yes.
But they will be getting harder.
Yeah, fast finger first. Yeah, the next one will be very enjoyable to see who can get that one. But yeah, player updates. Let's fly through some before we get into the big transfer chat with Cam. Jordan Henderson finally makes his debut for Ajax. Work permit cleared, got over the line, international clearance, et cetera, et cetera. Big game he jumps in as well. PSV, who are top of the league. And Henderson straight away plays the full 90 minutes in that game. It was a 1-1 draw, which not bad going considering Ajax are fifth. They're 19 points behind PSV at the top of the table. But I guess the bigger thing, as we've discussed before, Scully, is that there's a second Champions League spot, which is currently sat by at Feyenoord, and they're 9 points away from Ajax. So I guess that's the one they've got to aim for.
I think this Ajax remontada is, if this Henderson move goes to plan, it could be a crazy storyline. It's mad. From relegation battle at the beginning of the season to fighting back and potentially getting back in there, that's something I want to see.
Jordy claims he only heard about this after the game, but John Henderson's debut observed at the ground by Gareth Southgate, who I think has taken criticism for not being a great traveller to watch some of those players that are abroad. He certainly didn't check out Al Ittifaq in Saudi Arabia, did he? Which, fine, I have got no issue with that. But does that really indicate it working well two ways there? Gareth Southgate is like, I respect what you're about to do more because you're at a better level and I'm willing to give you a chance still because we need you. And if you're Jordan Henderson, you're like, here, look, I'm still fit. My level hasn't fallen off a cliff in those 5-6 months.
Well, it's pretty damning because there's players who we believe should have been included in squads. Someone like a Tomori. He famously has very rarely gone out to visit that. Other players, like I'm sure he's not gone out to Turkey at any point in all of this. He has, however, gone straight to see Jordan Henderson. I'm not saying there's favouritism at play, but there's clearly favouritism at play. And it's a catch-22, isn't it? Because part of me is like, I'm glad you're travelling and you're finally going to go visit players. But part of me is also like, what about the other players who are abroad who you probably should have gone to see?
Yeah, he does love him, doesn't he?
Like, he does. He clearly... And also, by the way, Hendo, I don't believe you. You definitely knew about this. Because to your point, he does love him and he 100% would have texted and said, I'll come and see your first game, mate. Like, let's be honest.
They've been riding together since the under-21. So I think he's someone that he would like to think he can still rely on, particularly with the flimsy availability of a Calvin Phillips, etc. And it's a very top-heavy midfield, so there's still a big chance that he will be going to the Euros. And if that's his objective, he's made a very good start. Elsewhere, Harry Kane scored his 24th league goal of the season. Bayern beat Mönchengladbach 3-1. It's Bayern's club record for a debut season, joint currently with Luca Toni. We're in early February. One more goal takes him to Bayern's best maiden season, and then we are on that chase for Lewandowski's record.
It's ridiculous, isn't
Yeah,
it?
so good.
Sorry to the listeners for the gremlin laugh, but it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
It's nice when you just a player that you know is good, you remove him from the tribalism and all the other kind of criticisms, and you just see them in a league just throw their weight around, like just really actually like flex on this entire league system because I am that good. We're not going to do every goal every week, I think. We keep saying we won't, but stuff keeps happening. Maybe we'll see.
He keeps breaking records. We can't help it. Like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more updates regardless between now and the summer. But I wanted to zoom in on Bayern a bit more. They've been like one of the bigger talking points since we've relaunched the pod. Trippier, we spoke about being linked and that falling apart. That wasn't Bayern's last pursuit of an English player. So Jacob Ramsey of Aston Villa, highly rated player. He was linked in The Athletic to Bayern Munich prior to the window closing. That didn't materialize, I presume, because Villa can price out everybody right now. I think Villa can just say no, King's ransom, and that's that. The other one, Scully, although I think this is a little bit further back, Kyle Walker confirmed there was big links a while back that he was going to go to Bayern, and he's confirmed that publicly that he was very, very close to join Bayern for a number of reasons. Most told in a tell-all with the Sun newspaper. A lot of stuff going on in Kyle Walker's personal life. A lot of it I was quite happy to not know anything about. Everything I know about it is without consent. Doing a front page tell-all spread in the Sun about your like playing away, it's quite a weird move when only so many people
Listen,
probably were involved or knew about it.
let's just level with him now. Kyle Walker, if you're listening, yeah? If you have been caught doing unscrupulous things within your relationship, the best way to try and get good PR is not by going to the Sun and doing a two-page spread tell-all. You're just going to make yourself look worse. Everything in the optics made it look worse. Also, telling us that you were going to leave the league to go to another league to get away from your problems also makes you look worse. Like everything that you added to that story just made me think, wow, this is not a great guy. I would just keep quiet and keep playing your football.
Please stick your head down. Here's a bit of the quote. I was very close to moving. I was going to a big club, a huge club, but in the end, if I'm in Germany and I find myself alone, there's pain and emotion right now, but I can still go home here, take the kids to the school and my little boy to soccer. So I think it sounded like he was trying to run away from the problem, get his head out of the madness, but realized actually that was probably defeating. And that's it. In a lot of these moves, I think a lot of what brings a lot of British players back anyway is family and stuff like that. If you can't bring people with you, it doesn't seem to appeal to a lot of people. So he almost had Kyle Walker at Manchester City instead of Sacha Boey. Nevertheless, he remains at City and he remains pulling up trees. And Bayern remain 2 points behind Bayer Leverkusen, who I'm mentioning because their 2-0 win over Darmstadt, 2-0, two goals scored by Nigeria's very own, Lambeth's very own Nathan Teller, formerly of Southampton and Burnley. His first mention on the pod, I think. He's
Very
making an
impressive.
impression at the top of the tree there too.
Very, very impressive.
You're gonna praise Kane, you gotta praise Nathan Teller.
24 years old, like you're saying, he's making an impact. Leverkusen have a team and it's very clearly working. So it's good for him to get some minutes on a team that, let's be honest, a lot of this team is either going to be, they're either going to win the league and, probably try to stay together and see how far they can go to the CL, or they will get overtaken last minute, come second. And the team will be gutted because everybody will see how quality all those players are. Nathan Teller is looking like the player who might just get to stay another season, which isn't a problem in itself. It's a nice place for him to stay. I think he can make a nice bit of impact there. I'm excited to see how far his journey really goes.
Probably good enough for the Premier League. But when an opportunity comes like that, nothing against a Burnley or, even Southampton where he was prior. Like, if the opportunity presents itself to play at the top of a league, that's way more exciting, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's a good time for Nathan. Good luck to him.
Back to club football quickly. Serie A, we had Scotland v Scotland on the weekend. Lewis Ferguson versus Josh Doig. Josh Doig has joined Sassuolo. Lewis Ferguson is of Bologna. And Bologna won 4-2 thanks to a late goal from Ferguson with about 5, 10 minutes to go that put Bologna 3-2 up in that game. That's his fifth league goal of the season from a sort of number 10 or attacking midfield position. Scots in Italy, just living a great life. going great. And Bologna are like the story of the season over there, or one of them anyway. Bologna manages someone, Thiago Motta is their manager.
Oh, yes.
So they think he's like possibly the budget option for Barcelona if they can't actually go and get a superstar manager. I think he's the best example of a knows the club and is stupid enough to take it given the circumstances that they're in financially. But yeah,
that's interesting.
Just a nice little quirk there. I wonder how many times that's happened in the history. I'm sure obviously Josh Doig was at Verona before and there's been plenty of Scots at Bologna recently, but yeah, wicked. To Belgium now, and a surname you'll be familiar with, Wright Phillips. Demargio Wright Phillips is the son of Sean Wright Phillips. His dad played in MLS, Phoenix Rising, I want to say. Rami spoke about him going out there briefly. Certainly had a little spell at New York Red Bulls as well. And he's followed in the footsteps of dad and uncle because he's left Stoke to go on loan to Beerschot on loan for the rest of the season. They're in the Belgian second tier now. Their manager, Scully, is former Dutch international, played for Liverpool.
No way is it Dirk Kuyt.
It is Dirk Kuyt. He is the manager of Germinal Beerschot, and he has now got Demargio Wright Phillips playing for him. He scored on a weekend in a 4-1 win, so that's a nice little family trend.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's very interesting. I'm going to have to tap into a few of their games.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell you're watching the Belgian second tier, because I'm going to be relying on Cam to drop some clips otherwise.
There's always a way. There's always a way.
This update is slightly different. We've not really spoken about presidential level before, I don't think. David Beckham, president and co-owner, or co-founder certainly, of Inter Miami FC. You know the name. We've mentioned it before. But to quickly recap, Inter Miami are the franchise option that David Beckham had basically when he first joined MLS with LA Galaxy. Part of his MLS contract meant that he had like a 10-year window to take up a franchise and have his own team at a reduced cost. Let's say it was like $30 million. And by the time that the end of that window approached, that was like a bargain. That was like 10-20% of how much MLS franchises and teams were being built for. So he, of course, took it up with the help of some others. And we now have Inter Miami. A couple of English players have been there. Ryan Shawcross, we spoke about. Phil Neville was manager there, of course, along with Son Harvey, who I believe is still technically there, but more on that later. And Kieran Gibbs, who Wikipedia tells me is now their media director.
That's a great come up, man.
Make of that what you will. That's a lovely little...
Big up Kieran, man.
He definitely goes to work in sliders and swimming trunks.
Because what can you tell him?
The reason I've brought up Inter Miami, the big story about them is, of course, that Messi's now there and they're trying to bring some of the old Barcelona guard back together. They've been on a tour recently of the Far East, trying to make as much money as possible. And that's included, I don't know if you know, a lot of people flew out to see Inter Miami v Al Nassr, which was meant to be the Messi v Ronaldo. And then they were both injured. So you just had a load of people a bit miffed in, I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was in the Middle East, that game particularly. You know, the fallout of that game is pretty embarrassing, but Messi's injury has then extended into the broader Inter Miami tour that was planned. They had a 2-game stop in China that has been cancelled. The official reason given, but the promoter backing out, has said, oh, the Chinese premier has recently passed away. It's caused some chaos, so we're just going to abort it. But basically, it's because Messi's injured. And they've got a tour date in Japan, which has not been televised. It was all set to be televised, and there's no way you can actually watch this game now because Messi's not playing. The big story, which is why I've brought this in, there was like a Hong Kong select team playing Inter Miami in Hong Kong, I think, which included an English player, by the way, who came on in that game. But everybody there was fuming that Messi wasn't playing. And I mean, booing throughout the game, during the game, nothing's going on. They're just shouting, refund, refund. Some of the tickets going for hundreds, thousands.
If you bought tickets to that game, you were there to watch Messi. Let's be honest. Yeah. And the reality is, as soon as he pulled out...
But that's the danger of going to those type of games. I appreciate if you're on the other side of the world, it's difficult to... is what that you've got to take what you get, really. But that, to me, is why that stuff always falls apart. The integrity of it all, the actual value of it, is all hanging by a thread, really. So, bit of a mess. And it gets to the point where David Beckham is on the pitch have it trying to do a speech and whatever, and David Beckham is being heckled and booed by the crowd. And you think about the classic days of David Beckham running out in the Far East, just on every billboard, every endorsement deal, living the dream. We talked about how cushy it might be for a Kieran Gibbs out there. Just to let you know, it's not easy for everyone out there. David Beckham has his bad days too. And it sounds like they're taking a bit of a financial hit for this preseason tour, thanks to Messi's injury. Okay, as hinted, we've got a guest this week. It's the first return guest that we've got.
Officially, we can call him a friend of the show now.
Yeah, have to. Cam Melling, who runs the English Players Abroad account, knows everything you need to know about English players playing their trade overseas. And we thought, who better to join us for the transfer window roundup? Now the deadline day has passed, certainly in the UK. It's open elsewhere. More on that a little bit later. But here's how we get on over the weekend, trying to round up the closed transfer window business. International clearance. We have our first return guest, Scully. Somebody we had in that Series 1 3 years ago now. But somebody, even when we did that back then, we had in mind to be someone appearing on here regularly, because there's no better resource in the country in terms of English players abroad than the social media account English Players Abroad. And the man behind that is the one and only Cam Melling. Welcome back, Cam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thing. It's good to be back. 3 years, that is flying by, isn't it?
I know. Sorry to bring it up. You still look exactly the same as you did, mate. Not an extra wrinkle on you, so all good.
Haven't aged a day.
I think it's good.
It's a long enough time that lots of moves have happened. We're not going to be able to cover all of those. We're not even going to try. But before we get to this window in particular, have you kind of noticed any patterns or trends, or just countries that have become a lot more popular for English players to move to in that time that have caught your eye?
Yeah, well, the impacts of Brexit continue. Sweden was just so popular, like education pathways and just general moving to Sweden in the fourth and fifth tier. That's just not as possible now without sort of EU. So it seems like the new place people are going to is UAE and Dubai. There are maybe not in top division or second division, but in the lower tiers, there's no limit on foreign players, or less of a limit on foreign players. So the lifestyle is there for people. Amazing facilities, all brand new facilities. There's just so many English players in the lower tiers. And you've had people like Stephen Taylor, Danny Guthrie coaching out there as well. Neil Taylor, the other Swansea player. The lifestyle is there for them. And then if they can make a bit of money on the side while playing, getting these academy started, it's definitely the place to go at the moment. Dubai, it seems, in the lower tiers, people aren't too fussed about it because the lifestyle kind of makes up for it.
Sure.
That's so interesting. That was absolutely not the place I thought you were going to say. It makes a lot of sense. Obviously, a lot of people spend time, like you're saying, in Dubai, and you do always see footballers out there. And it honestly never crossed my mind that they were playing in the lower tiers over there. Makes sense.
Yeah. And is there a favourite story of the last few years that's that really captured your imagination? Someone who's having a particular adventure that perhaps isn't as obvious as a Bellingham or Kane?
Well, yeah, really interesting. Your previous episodes when you said about it's not just like the British players, it might be British players with the heritage abroad, because I'm just fascinated by the Montserrat story, really, with Lee Bowyer. But in terms of everyone who plays for them is probably English, or they're from England. And the fact they've just got a stronger and stronger team. And it's most of the CONCACAF region, the Caribbean nations. Everyone seems to be really keen to get to accept these call-ups now. 10 years ago, didn't seem to be the case. Now, every international break comes up, a new player is accepted. And like, oh, I didn't realise I had Barbados heritage or whatever. And they'd be playing like National League. And the National League would just be like crowded with like St. Kitts players and things like that. And yeah, I find it fascinating seeing them all going out there. And the fact that Lee Bowyer is there now as well. And yeah, I'm delighted to see. Well, I'd say take more interest in it, because it doesn't really fit under my remit. But if I can make it kind of fit with Lee Bowyer, yeah, I mean, been loving that.
Yeah, it's definitely fascinating. I can see culturally why that might be a bit more of a thing now than it was 10 years ago.
Maybe it's a logistics thing as well. The flights getting cheaper, or they've just some organisation. It's funny, literally on the day we're recording this, it's an Under the Cosh episode. I don't know if you've ever been aware of that podcast. It's quite good for like low league footballers. And it was a story, a player, I think Jamie Proctor, was talking about a Fleetwood Town player, a teammate of his at the time, to get a Montserrat cap. Nathan Pond, I think he's got the Guinness World Record for promotions. He was with Fleetwood right the way up the pyramid. He was on the team bus one weekend, and the players were joking about we don't want to play on international weekend. Surely there's a few of us lads that could nick a call up, a cap somewhere. Have you got any Irish in you? You got any of that in you? Well, anyone from anywhere? And Nathan Pond's at the back, one of the vets, he said, I'm like grandfather, whatever, is from Montserrat. And he goes, hang on. So what becomes a joke, the teammate finds an email address for the Montserrat FA, contacts the Montserrat FA on behalf of this player who doesn't know he's doing this. And he then obviously gets a call up in 2019 for Montserrat, and he's 39 now, but he got a dozen caps in between now and 2019. It's almost as if some people, as you say, who've been around long enough, either don't think that they're good enough for it or don't realise sometimes just how enthusiastic people are to just increase the levels. But yeah, Montserrat, they are, I mean, I saw you posted an update from Lee Bowyer, Cam. Essentially, he's fully seriously targeting qualification for the World Cup. It's not a gimmick at all. They're in with like a reasonable shout, which I think is, well, it's obviously very new territory for Montserrat, but really exciting.
Yeah, because I've been playing Montserrat on Football Manager to kind of see what players are eligible and stuff like that. And Donovan Daniels, Rowan Ince stand out as well. Jarrell Dorsett at Reading, and then it's like Nico Gordon is at Birmingham. Some of these players don't accept call-ups on the game, but in real life, they are playing for this country now. And there's a few, obviously, like people like Chris Willock and Joe Willock, like the main Montserrat players, and they've never accepted a call-up to Montserrat, but they could. They are eligible.
That's interesting. Do you think he's still holding out for the England call-up? Obviously, he had a good season with Newcastle before. A lot of a slower season this season, partially because of injury, other reasons as well. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd love to see that. I like that you dropped your use in Football Manager as a tool, which we know a lot of federations actually are doing now. So obviously Ben Brereton Diaz getting called up for Chile. That was through Football Manager that they discovered he was eligible. So like I laughed when you said it, but it is very much a tool that respectable, reputable football federations are putting into practice.
Yeah, I've gone into the editor, so not even loaded up games, it's gone to the actual database editor to find English abroad before, and that's how I found the guy called Zorro, who plays in Brazil. And I found him on Instagram, messaged him. He was born in London, so yeah, he's part English. But there's not many English players have played in Brazil. And I wouldn't have found him without Football Manager.
There you go. That's the secret sauce right there. Right, so let's move to the transfer window then. In terms of done deals, you'd have seen quite a lot. You've been chronicling and letting us know about loads that have happened out of the country and even the occasional return. There was like a standard Liège swap. I think one for Panzo went out there, but I think, was it Romain that came back? I've forgot the name.
Yeah, Romain Mindell.
Yeah. But what were the kind of deals that stuck out to you, the ones that have excited you from this window in particular?
Yeah, I'm just looking through, like, I've put a list of all the transfers that happened. I've got 50 that have happened in January window. So some of those players that are abroad already have gone kind of sideways, or players that have gone abroad for the first time. Obviously, it started off well with Sancho going back to Dortmund. That's what helped my account blow up kind of a few years ago, just sharing stuff from Bundesliga for him. And then with Eric Dier as well. So that's helped a lot with the sort of big names. But one of the interesting ones was a few weeks ago, there was a two players moved to Moldova. So Tyler Reed, who'd been playing in Finland already, you know, Man U Academy when he was younger, he headed to Sheriff. So yeah, they're in Europa League, I think, or Conference League. So yeah. I knew that was happening. He told me weeks before that was happening. But then they also signed a player from West Ham the same day, a guy called Thierry Neves. I've not seen him play. I don't really know who he's paid for before. I think he's been out on loan. But yeah, double deal to Moldova out of nowhere. I don't think I've ever reported on any players playing in Moldova before. So that's probably one of my favourite ones.
Instinctively, I think Rowan Ricketts, one of his many, many clubs, he's kind of the OG English player abroad, right? I think one of the clubs that he played for very briefly was in Moldova. Yes, Dacia Chisno. I remember he had all issues with not getting paid there and didn't hang around very long. That's four games in 2010. So that's very uncharted waters. But also, I guess that factors in. They had that decent European run, and I guess that opens out the budget a little bit. That also makes other players and agents aware of who they are as possible places to go. And I don't know if you ever saw the story about Sheriff. They're kind of in the part of Moldova that's self-governing, that is sort of financed with some Russian money. It's kind of in the same way that you have a split in Ukraine, there's an area in Moldova that still kind of sees itself at its heart as being a part of Russia. essentially that is the region where Sheriff are in on their own. And so they just dominate the league because they follow the rules differently. They have their own tax rules and stuff like that. Ruin the league system in doing so. But
that part of Moldova is called Transnistria.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there's some very good write-ups. Because I remember when they went on that run, they beat Real Madrid, didn't they, in the Champions League? And I think
yeah, that'll earn you some money.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, a little taste of European football competition is great. I'm always thumbs up for that. We'll let them settle in and get on to the summer maybe and maybe try and get in touch with them.
I just had to go and find out what year Thierry Neves was born. Because with a name like Thierry Neves, first of all, you have to make it.
Yeah.
Second of all, we need to check if he was obviously named after Thierry, and he was born in 2002.
Is that enough of a peak Henri era at that time to be named after him?
Yeah. Oh, you're right, actually.
So I'm not saying no. Before. I'm just saying it's, you know, he could just be French. Yeah.
No, I'm not buying it.
It's something, just picking up something you said there, Cam. So when high-profile players or players that people are more familiar with from, I guess, the England national side, but also just being around the Premier League as long as someone like Eric Dier or Sancho, people tend to track their progress. You can really see a clear change in engagement when those players make their move and people want to track how they get on.
Yeah, I mean, it's like for some of these other people, there might be like a one-off story where, like, briefly mentioned Moldova and then that'd be it. But BBC and Sky were... Every single time Kane plays, Sancho plays, Dier plays, there'll be clips ready on Twitter, ready to go for every time they get a goal or an assist. And there's obviously the debate about the standard of the leagues abroad and stuff, but I don't see it as a bad thing that people are taking interest of Bundesliga on a Friday when they wouldn't really pay attention usually, and then goes into the weekend, they go back to Soccer Saturday or whatever. But yeah, the smaller stories aren't covered regularly from BBC. Probably don't have the depth of staff to do that, but... I'm happy to let them sort of big pages cover those players. I will still share the stuff about Kane. It's rude not to, but I spend a lot of time looking lower level sort of thing.
I appreciate looking lower level because there's just so much, like saying, that is already covered, that there is a lot that I think our regular listeners might miss, and just like the general scope of, let's say, mainstream football. And there's been a lot of deals that have been happening in and around the English pyramid as well, which I find fascinating. I think it's really interesting how Europe is taking to signing these players. Like, obviously, moving abroad is nothing new, but I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's picking up speed at the moment.
Yeah, well, it seems the case. And even lower sort of tiers of Premier League, people going for, like, Callum Wilson and things like that, that was just surprising. And people just turn attention to, like, Championship players, League One. But even they're not easy pickings because they can't replace those players in time. So, yeah, I'm happy to see the sort of scout intention moving to England. Foreign clubs must know how competitive it is to get a pro deal here. Like, players will be playing abroad top tier, they'll come back here and they'll struggle to get National League or National League South contracts. That's how competitive it is here. So yeah, why not go for it?
Yeah, let's kind of jump to that really. So Italian clubs in particular really took a shine to Championship players, particularly in the closing stages of the transfer window. Stoke rejected a bid for Tyrese Campbell from Hellas Verona, which I believe must be the money that was given for... Who are we talking about the other day, Scully, that was there? The Scottish player, Doig.
Josh Doig.
Sold, went to Sassuolo. We were bemoaning him his luck because he wanted to go to Marseille and they wouldn't let him. So that's presumably where that money's come from. But €1 million, the conversion. It wasn't enough to get Tyrese Campbell. Atalanta were looking at Jordan James of Birmingham, who's very highly rated. £4 million was the rumour to be the kind of area of the bid that was rejected, which seems remarkably low given you look at someone like an Adam Wharton with less experience going to Palace for 18, 19 million plus. You also had Salernitana, who were the bottom club in Serie A. I think they were looking at Jerome Boateng as a potential free, really controversial, but they were also looking at Alan Brown on deadline day of Preston North End, but that didn't materialise. It's interesting because, yeah, I guess it's an endorsement of the level of what they could achieve elsewhere, but also they wouldn't waste their time if they didn't think these players would be hungry or willing to listen to these offers and travel.
Those clubs going for Championship players, that does feel new. It feels surprising. I guess because it wouldn't be that surprising if they went for any other country in Europe, really. Apart from England, it seems surprising because we've got nearly five full professional divisions. People don't consider it to go abroad. But then, yeah, why not get our players? Like, Italian clubs wouldn't think twice about going for Spanish players or German players. But maybe it's time that more of our players kind of go for it and go for our players.
What also, it's one thing to be interested. It's the fact that very few of them actually had any joy. It just shows you there's still not that great value in that league, because tariff of the Premier League and promotion means that if you're going to sell these players, it better be for top dollar, because also the debt in a championship collectively between those clubs is insane, because they're willing to gamble the clubs and the fortunes of the club on promotion. But like Lazio, I didn't even mention, two bids rejected, one for Morgan Whittaker at Plymouth and another for Jack Clark at Sunderland, who's very highly rated.
Oh yeah, Lazio seemed obsessed with getting English players, because they also bid for Ryan Kent from Fenerbahce, apparently, according to Transfermarkt. So yeah, they seemed really keen on getting an English player. But also targeting probably the two best championship players, or the young English championship players, is just going to cost a fortune, as you mentioned about Wharton.
Did you see any other kind of what-if deals, Cam? Was there ones that were a bit disappointed it didn't happen?
Can't think of any what-ifs right now, but like, I'm just glad some of the deals didn't happen. Like Chubak, Pong kept getting linked to come back to Forest, or maybe to Everton or something. And I was so happy that he stayed out there, because his goal per minute is pretty good at Ajax. They haven't started him in lots of games. They've brought him a sub a lot of times, and he scored quite a few times, and I'm glad he stayed out there. And I'm happy that never went through. They ran out of time for that one. Probably going to come back in the summer now and stay, I'd imagine.
It's funny, we're looking for your account on deadline day and some of the later transfers that did go through. So many former Arsenal Academy people. That stuff still holds weight. That's going to catch people's interest, in the same way that perhaps La Masia graduates or people that come out of Paris piques people's interest. And, you know, even on a broader extent, people get excited by Brazilians wherever you are in the world. I guess people that have come up through Hay Lend, even if they released at 16 or something, they seem to be attracting interest of people everywhere. It's almost like a mark of, you know, the standard. And it's, really, really interesting.
I think Arsenal as a whole, or Hay Lend rather, fairly highly regarded academy. And it still actually churns out a lot of graduates, like you're saying, that go to high level. We are seeing some players who haven't done as well. So for every tube at Pumps, there is a Miguel Aziz, who's just gone to Atletico Baleares, the third tier in Spain. Obviously, he was very highly rated. He was on the bench for a lot of 2021. Got loaned to Portsmouth, didn't do so well over there. I think he got recalled, or it was terminated early. I think his next location was Wigan, same thing. And then he went to, I think it was it FC Ibiza?
Yeah,
it was a party island. Twitter was up in arms saying, well, he's never going to focus on football over there. Again, didn't do too well out there. And now he's gone to Atletico Baleares, where I hope he does well. Like, I would really like him to get his career on track. I think it's really hard with youth players, especially from a bigger club, because there's a lot of pressure on them. People always want them to do well. And if they don't make it at their club, I think a lot of fans have this idea of like, well, they didn't make it at my club, so they're obviously not good. And that's just not how football works. Like, it is really hard to make a, let's say, 25-man squad of one of the top half teams in the Premier League. I guess that can be crushing for you mentally as a player. But when you see someone and you see they have talent, I just really hope they do well. I'm going to be on the English Players Abroad Twitter scanning for Miguel Aziz updates. So I'll tell you that right now.
Is there a level that is just too difficult to track? Let's say, what was his previous club, like UD Ibiza or something? Are they dropping highlights on social media? Is it, how difficult does it get?
I kind of, like, from years of doing this, know where I can find stats straight away. So from websites like Soccerway and Transfermarkt, I know the exact level they go down to. So then anything below that, then I have no clue how many appearances, how many goals. I might see it if a player shares on their own story. But some players aren't even particularly trustworthy in terms of, they might just tell you their highlights. They might tell you how many goals. But then again, I only know like league stats, because that was in the Wikipedia or something like that. Cup goals aren't there. So yeah, I know like roughly like where every single like level stops in terms. So someone transfers to like fourth tier Sweden, I'm like, that's good. But now I have to go into the Swedish FA to find those stats. Like the top three divisions are on Soccerway. So I know instantly, but then I also know every country's FA and where to get the stats from, just from doing this for like so many years.
Yeah. Hopefully you might be helped by the profile of player in this case then, because even I've got Soccerway in front of me. There is currently nobody in South Korea or the public of Korea, although that might change with Jesse Lingard being rumoured at the time of recording to be completing a move there. Is that a totally new place for yourself in terms of a league, or have there been previous players there that you can remember?
Yes, it's technically an English player who's just gone there as well, with Nathan Adua, who's played for Spurs.
Oh, right.
I think he counts in Nigerian on Soccer Away, but he's played for England and Nigeria at youth level.
Right.
He's gone to second tier in South Korea, and there used to be Jordan Mutch, played
Oh, yeah.
briefly in South Korea as well, I think. But yeah, for I was watching a non-league game last night when one of my friends messaged me about Lingard, and it broke that it was in South Korea, and it broke what team it was going to be. But that didn't really make much difference to me, because people have said he's had no shortage of offers. He's been training in Saudi Arabia. Lots of teams are interested in him. So I'm just seeing what's convinced him to go to South Korea. I'm not sure if his team competes in Asian Champions League, but what, maybe some off field, some brand deals. I've seen he's been done brand deals in Indonesia before with some of the brands he works with. It's only a 2-year deal in South Korea. I'm not, it must be some sort of off field interest, because there's so much interest in him playing and staying in Europe or MLS.
Yeah.
I really don't know why South Korea is his chosen destination.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting move. That's all that I've been thinking about. I do know he has enough talent that he could probably walk that league at the age he's at. I really wonder what made him do that. All
Yeah.
will be revealed, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. One more kind of could still happen. I think it will happen because of just patterns that have played. Phil Neville's now at Portland Timbers, having previously been at Inter Miami. And his son Harvey Neville has now joined on trial from Inter Miami, where he was playing under his dad, or at least in the squad. I presume that's going to happen, or if Phil gets his way.
It was weird, interesting with Harvey. He's probably professional, but he's not useless. He's played 10 MLS games. He's played quite a few games in the lower tiers in America. And he played with Romeo Beckham at Inter Miami's B team. But it's just, you don't know about, he's never played a professional game in England without his dad. Like, where would he be? And Portland fans weren't buzzing about seeing him on the pre-season team.
Yeah, I obviously there's opportunities that he's benefited from, but I imagine long term he's probably in the back of his head thinking, probably does want to be his own man at some point and not have that hanging over him, because the moment he does like one misplaced pass, and you know what people are like, it's human habit, people are going to go, well, if it's only you're only here because of that, and that will hang over his head, I think. And that's not really a nice way to play out or try and make your way in the sport if eventually you're going to have to let go of that. So hopefully he finds his own way. But yeah, thank you, Cam, for catching up with us again and spending time. I think it's maybe best if you, in your own words, tell people where they can find your accounts.
Yeah, Twitter's definitely the best place, at English Abroad One. But if you go to EnglishPlayersAbroad.com as well, there's plenty of info on there. There's not as many interviews as I used to do, but if you go to the transfer page, which is linked on the homepage, that's got basically every transfer I've seen since 2019 listed there in sort of a BBC Sport kind of fashion, with the club they've gone from, who they've gone to, with a link to the official press release as well. I'm on Instagram as well, but yeah, Twitter is the place to be. That's the where it all started from, really. And that's, yeah, the transfer news you'll get first, and then you can find a roundup on the website as well.
Wicked. Cam, thank you so much for rejoining us again. And we'll definitely be back to have you on again. Probably not in 3 years, I'll be honest. It'll
A
probably be a bit more sooner than that. But until
pleasure
then.
as always.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
We're definitely going to have to try and get him on the show more often, because he's just a wealth of knowledge. Absolute treasure vault. But we need to update you already. Jesse Lingard has completed a medical with FC Seoul. Reluctant to join Steven Gerrard in Saudi Arabia, which, looking at how the team's going, might have actually been a good choice. But despite his pedigree, he's failed to join a Premier League club. And because of that, he sacked some of his agents. Some of those are members of his own family, by the way. Which, by the way, Harry Kane, we told you to do long ago. You probably could have been in any other club in the league living it up. But, you're doing well at Bayern, so at least you're breaking records. It's going to be very interesting to see how Jesse gets on. How do you think he'll fare? I think Jesse is really interesting because, like how Vardy played late because he came into the top leagues late. So he had
Right.
like a little bit more run in his legs. I feel like Lingard probably still got some run in his legs.
Yeah, I feel like the thing that always stuns people, I think Lingard is older than Pogba. That eternal youth of being a Manchester United Academy product, that I don't think he got into the team regularly till 23, 24. I think a lot of people will write him off now and think this is just a money grab. And I can understand that. Maybe there's a wage level that he wants to maintain, but how much are we going to be able to keep up with what's going on in the K League? I
It's
don't.
really weird.
It feels like it's an adventure. I can't question that. There may be, as Cam suggested, there may be other financial incentives and commercial reasons that make it more appetizing. It's certainly unusual. And I look forward to the first video where he attempts to speak in a local language. That will, I imagine, go viral at the first opportunity emerges. But yeah, I don't know. He could play out there for a while. I mean, some of the Far East, I think people that do stay love it and stay for a long time. You think about Jay Boothroyd in Japan, stayed.
Even Iniesta in Japan.
Yeah, maybe falls in love with it. Maybe he does play and his career goes on forever. But I do imagine that even at his age, which isn't that old, I mean, what are we talking, like 31? There will be two people looking at him as if like, okay, you're like seeing out your career. Because I think it's a 2-year deal. If he gets to the end of the season, doesn't like it, or plays out his contract and leaves at the other side of it, will there be somebody that takes him? I think you'll have to accept this will be the last nice money he'll get, because people won't be giving you 100 grand a week, 70 grand a week coming back from the K-League. So we'll see. Maybe he just didn't fancy the offers he was getting. And this is an exciting one. You can't say it's not an interesting one. You can't have this pod and not applaud taking the crazy option.
100%. I mean, on the one hand, I feel for Jesse. I wish he took that West Ham offer a season, 2 seasons ago, because there was a talented player in there. And I feel like he could have contributed to a lot of teams in the Premier League. In the same breath, I also want to know how it happened that he slipped by all of these teams. Because we saw Barkley go to Nice and do well. Ezzy Maitland-Niles is starting to kick on at Lyon. And he's actually, like, he's becoming... I'm seeing French tweeters tweet every single week. He is, quote-unquote, indispensably. And I've seen that literally multiple times.
You don't need Duolingo to work out what that means.
Yes, they need him.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Interesting.
How has Lingard fallen by the wayside in such a way that he's not stayed within the top 5 leagues? Not even a Portugal, even a humble Turkey. So it's interesting to me.
Yeah. Speaking of Turkey, Lingard's Forest teammate, Joe Worrall, was one of those to make a move after the close of the British window, or the English transfer window anyway. I think he had a deadline day loan deal to Sheffield United that fell through. Leeds tried to get in at the last minute with something. That didn't happen. But Joe Worrall has got an offer to go Besiktas, go play with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Lingard's not going to Turkey. Joe Worrall is, and he's going to have a great time. You know, they're not... So basically, Fenerbahce and Galatasaray are neck and neck at the top of the table. Basically the same points. I think Fenerbahce ahead on goal difference. And there's a little way back. Besiktas is not the power that they once were, but they're still probably one of the biggest... They could even be the second biggest club fan base wise in the league, if not the first. So it's a huge club to join and have a lot of fun at. And again, a one we have to applaud.
Absolutely. You can find us on intlclearance@gmail.com. Please send us an email. Let us know who you want us to talk about. If there's anyone you'd like us to talk to, just reach out. You can also find us on the Instagram, intlclearance. Same thing on the TikTok, same thing on the Twitter.
And we have benefited already from some people tipping us off about players that they can get us to speak to. We will be shouting them out during those interviews. That's how you become a friend of the show, besides coming on it like a Cam Melling has. And that concludes this International Clearance Transfer Window special. Back next week with another guest interview. But for now, I've been Joe Walker.
And I've been Scully.
And that was International Clearance. See you later.